Continuing, part three. Let's see how far it goes. Canto 2, chapter 9, text 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Itavam eva jigyasyam.
Itavam eva jigyasyam.
Tattva jigyasanatmanah. Anvayavyatirekabhyam. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Itavad eva jigyasyam. Tattva jigyasanatmanah. Anvayavyatirekabhyam. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Etavat. Up to this. Eva. Certainly. Jigyasyam. Is to be inquired. Tattva, the absolute truth. Jigyasuna, by the student. Atmanaha, of the self. Anvaya, directly. Vyatirekabhyam, indirectly. Yat, whatever. Syat, it may be. Sarvatra,
in all space and time.
Sarvada, in all circumstances. Translation, a person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this. In all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So, once again, up to this, etavad is referring to, it's a pronoun, referring to something previously spoken. That something previously spoken was sarahasyam. Sarahasyam meaning the mystery of how to. This is a process or sadhana. The object of the sadhana is tattva, the absolute truth, and atmanaha, the self with a capital S, the Supreme Self, the truth of the Supreme Self. That's the object, and the sadhana is the up to this, up to the stage of devotional service, up to the stage of love of God. So what I'm going to do this morning is two things. I'm going to read a little bit from the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the second thing is I'm going to continue just like a page and a half from Srila Prabhupada's purport. And we'll discuss a bit. Those of you that were here for part one will remember Anvaya Vyatirekabhyam. These two terms, directly and indirectly, were in relation to directly the nine processes of bhakti, indirectly what we do in our worldly activities. offered in devotion to the Personality of Godhead. Or Sarahasyam Tad Angam Cha. Cha is a conjunction, and so devotional service directly performed and devotional service indirectly performed or performed through the agency of things of this world, stuff, tadangam, the paraphernalia of devotional service. That's what we discussed on the first day, and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur makes a different emphasis, and that's bona fide. It's bona fide that he emphasized this and Prabhupada emphasized that, because both are correct and both are pursuant to the same conclusion. The same conclusion is Krishna and devotional, pure devotional service to Krishna. So the way that Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, I'm going to do a little prelude and we'll go in. Anvaya, he takes it as meaning what's the positive result of the performance of devotional service. And yatire kabhyam, indirectly, is what lacks as a result of non-performance. When you don't perform devotional service and you do other good stuff, what's the result? Something is missing. What's the result of non-performance of bhakti? And what's the result of the performance of bhakti? Directly and indirectly. So that's the topic. And it's 2.5 pages. But that's the topic. It's focused on those two terms, and there's one other point that he's making. Well, jigyasyam, he's amplifying the fact that it implies there's a guru, because you're inquiring from whom. Jigyasa is inquiry. So there's the inquirer and the one from whom one is inquiring. Devotional service is meant to be performed in that manner, under the guidance of direction of, under the care of a spiritual master. And etabat is, again, devotional service. So those are the terms that are being amplified or commented upon. Here's his translation of the verse. The person desiring to know the best sadhana and the goal of that sadhana must learn by surrendering to Guru about this truth, which is determined as the best by obtaining positive results through performance and by the lack of results through non-performance, and by performance at all times and all places. Sarvatra Sarvada. The person desiring the highest truth must experience rasa. That's sarahasyam. So he's taking the etavat and going back to the previous, what that's referring to. The person desiring the highest truth must experience rasa, which produces bliss through meeting and separation and continues in all places eternally. Commentary. In verse 29, this is 36. In verse 29, Lord Brahma is presenting a question to Lord Vishnu, requesting instructions with bhagavach chikshitam aham kurvanti yantadrita. And that translation is very simple, very straightforward. He's asking for instruction. Please tell me, so that I might be taught in the matter by instruction of the Personality of Godhead, and thus act instrumentally to generate living entities. That's the service. He has to create a universe and populate the place without being conditioned by such activities. So that's the request is protection from Maya. Specific Maya is, I'm the door. In his case, it's, I'm the creator of the universe. And in our case, it's fill in the blank, whatever our life thing is. And I'm that. He's praying to the Lord, please protect me from Maya. And his protection from Maya is to hear. So he's inquiring. Jigyasya. He wants to hear. Just like Krishna says in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, now hear from me, tat shrinu, hear from me. Or in chapter 9, the first verse is, I will now explain. It's like, you know, the language is different, but the force of the message is the same. Hear from me, I will now explain. So, Brahma, big time person, creator of the universe, doesn't want to fall under the Maya, the illusion that I'm the creator of the universe. Rather, I'm an instrument of the will of the Supreme. That's the consciousness he wants. And to ensure that consciousness and protection from Maya is to hear. So, that's how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport begins. Brahma is requesting instructions with Bhagavach Chikshitam Aham Kurvani Yantandrita. The Lord now speaks. 36. In response to his request. On the sadhana for attaining the Lord, that shelter where there is no Maya. But, because it is very confidential, it is not understood by materialistic persons. One should not be dependent on extensive study of scriptures. Meaning, that's not the process. Here's the process. Receiving through spiritual master, that's descending mercy, that's the process. Persons desiring to know the best sadhana for atmanaha, the self, tatva jigyasanatmanaha, should learn from the feet of the guru, jigyasyam. So he summarized this first section of the two sections with that paragraph. This means, quote, you will understand by my mercy alone, unquote. That's paraphrasing the top line, top two lines. You will understand by my mercy alone. What is this? Answer. Among the sadhanas of karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, bhakti should be fixed as the process. Ekabad, up to this. That's the process. Through positive results by performance, anvaya, and lack of results by non-performance, vyatirekabhyam. Karma, Gyan, and Yoga by themselves cannot even give svarga or liberation. And even without these practices, one can attain those goals. Therefore, these are not the sadhana. That's this section. Now he's going to do the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's going to give quotes that support. This is tradition. Assertion. This means this, and here's the verses that support that commentary. And then he summarizes again. That's what he's going to be doing. So there's like 8, 9, 10 verses, slightly embellishing in different ways. So the first one is Bhagavatam 1:5:17. We've heard this verse before. Chaktvasva dharmam charanam bhujam harir bhajan apakvota patet tato yadi yatra kva badram abud amushakim kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmataha. Prabhupada would quote especially the first line. That's also traditional, that the first line indicates all the rest. Chakva svadharmam. Chakva means giving up. Svadharma, one's occupational duty. Charanam bhujam harir, and takes shelter of the ambujam, the lotus feet of Hari. What happens when that takes place? If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness, and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? That is to say, a little devotional service is eternally beneficial. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya, from Bhagavad Gita. It's eternal. Prabhupada's explanation of that is, if you do 3% in this lifetime, and then somehow something happens, you stop. Your next life, you begin at 4%. You can't say that about something material. You have to start all over again. Then the converse. And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Supposing one, whatever those material activities are, and you do it flawlessly, you build a World Trade Center. And supposing he doesn't get knocked down, but still, what have you gained? What profiteth a man if he gains the whole world and loses his immortal soul? Prabhupada would quote that biblical saying. Same as what's here. Even if you do your material world, your material duties perfectly, if that self-realization, God-realization is missing, it's all taken away. So what have you gained? Next, there's two verses from Lord Brahma's prayers, Canto 10, Chapter 14, or Lord Brahma's prayers after the stealing of the calves and cowherd boys. And here's the first one. It starts, Shreya Shritim Bhaktim Udashyate Vibho. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. Very good quote to support what he just said, is the meaning of these first two lines. Devotional service is the sadhana. Here, Brahma is saying is the best. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. as a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain. One who simply speculates cannot achieve atmanaha, self-realization. His only gain is trouble. Thrashing the chaff is where the grain is gone. What do you get? Perspiration. But no grain. And there's a following verse spoken by Lord Brahma, text 5. O Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. Through such devotional service, perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you, they came to understand you, O infallible one, and could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. So that's the anvaya, what happens when you do devote, you join devotional service even with the worldly things. Then there's two verses from 11th canto, chapter 20. That's Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita. Just like Bhagavad Gita, so Uddhava Gita, two verses. Yat karma bir, yat tapasa, jnana vairagya taschayat. Yogena dana dharmena, shreyo bir, Tatire api. Everything that can be achieved, so this is on the anvaya side, if you just do devotional service, everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities, penance, knowledge, attachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. Then specifically, if somehow or other my devotee desires promotion to heaven, or liberation, or residence in my abode, he can easily achieve such benedictions. Anvaya. Then the other verses were saying conversely, if one does those other things minus offering those things to the Lord, it bears no fruit, like chaff has no grain because grain's been removed. Then from Moksha Dharma, another scripture, a wealth of sadhana brings about the four human goals, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Wealth of sadhana brings about these four goals. Without that, however, a man who surrenders to the Lord attains all of this. So that's on the anvaya. By rendering devotional service, all other benefits are a subset. They're included already. Like Prabhupada's example, it's really easy to one to understand. If you have $1 million, you can solve your $1, $10, and $100 problems. Really easy to understand. So that's the $1 million solution, is devotional service. The others, whatever is to be derived from the other things, it's already included. It's already there. One doesn't need to separately, independently pick up something and endeavor with that something, because it's already in one thing. And now here comes his summary. By pure bhakti alone, the highest results can be achieved, and without bhakti, the highest results cannot be achieved. Thus, bhakti is fixed as the best amongst all sadhanas. by showing anvaya, what is to be achieved by it positively, and vyatirekabhyam, what is not achieved by its absence. Then he amplifies it one more time. The positive aspect is shown in the following statement. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushamparam. Important verse, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 10. The person desiring destruction of all desires, the person with all desires, even the person with the intense desire for liberation, if he has good intelligence, will worship the Supreme Lord with pure bhakti. Then he comments on tivrena, the sharpness, tivrena, of bhakti is service which is like the sun, unobstructed by clouds. Meaning, there's a sun that's obstructed by clouds. And the clouds are when we have other shelters besides one shelter. It's called hedging in finance, and it's called hedging in yoga also. A little of this, a little of that, a little of the other, and then I can get the result. No. One. It's all. It's, one is take care of everything. Like your acknowledgement the other day from the 32-round day. The previous verse quoted, 11:20:32, also illustrates the positive aspect. We covered that. The negative aspect, vyatirekabhyam, or the absence of bhakti, is illustrated in the following. And these are quotes from 11th Canto, Chapter 5. It relates to how Prabhupada explained it on the first day we discussed. Each of the four social orders, headed by the brahmanas, so brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, each of the four was born through different combination of the modes of nature, from the face, arms, thighs, and feet of the Supreme Lord in his universal form, along with the ashramas. If any of the members of the four varnas and four ashramas fails to worship or disrespect the Lord, who is the source of their own creation, they will fall down from their ashram. Another quote, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 17. I offer continual respects to the Lord, who is full of auspicious qualities. Without worshipping him, the Gyanis, Karmis, specialized Karmis, yogis, scholars of the Vedas, and followers of proper conduct cannot attain any benefit. So, I'm just going to read another little bit. He goes into the next, into the sarvatra sarvada, on all time, all space, and all circumstances. A little bit, I'll cover. There are no restrictions of place and time concerning this sadhana. In all places, with all candidates, and at all times, this should be performed with steadiness. However, one must perform karma, that's, you know, prescribed duties, religious duties, with purity in a pure place, and one can attain gyan only with a pure mind. So there's conditions that's a little bit also, you know, the without bhakti, you won't get the desired result, tattva jigyasa. You won't get it. And now he's describing there's conditions with the indirect process that's better without bhakti, and that's why you don't get it. Karma has certain prerequisites. Jnana has certain prerequisites. I mean, a pure mind. In order to get the fruit of the process of jnana, yoga, wait a while. Karma and jnana cannot be performed in all places and at all times. Quotes Bhagavad Gita, where the yogi should perform yoga after establishing himself comfortably on a seat in a pure place. In terms of time, karma is practiced only until one attains detachment from enjoyment. Yoga is practiced only until one has attained siddhis. Sankhya is performed only until one has attained knowledge. Jnana is performed only until liberation. These methods are not practiced at all times. Bhakti, however, is well known for being practiced at all times and at all places. He gives quotes. In chanting the holy name, there is no restriction concerning place or time, or restrictions on performance because of impurity. O King, this is Bhagavatam 2.2.36, O King, Shukadev speaking, therefore at all times and at all places, without restriction, men should hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord with full concentration of mind. And that there's the sarvatra sarvada is there. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada. Shrotava kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan ranam. The practice of bhakti is also applicable to all types of people, including the practitioners of karma and jnana. It is even to be performed by the most fallen by birth or activities. This is the last quote from Vishwanath. He quotes Kirata Hunandra Polinda Polkasha Abhira Sumba Yavana Kashadaya. The devotees in China call their, you know, preaching field, Kashadesh, in reference to this verse, because Kasha, its place is Kashadesh, it's referred to in the Bhagavatam right here, that place, that tract of land, because Prabhupada explains in the purport of the verse, that's where Kashadesh is, and then the Hunandra, where the Huns lived, the Bhagavatam knew of those things, because they existed. So even persons in those places, others are were in Turkey and the Middle East. Whoa, that's a place for devotional service too. Abhira, the aborigines, tribal people. All persons are eligible. I offer my respects to the Lord of inconceivable power, the Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Polindas, Polkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, Kashas, and others of low birth, and those sinful by actions. By taking shelter of the devotees, who take shelter of the powerful Lord, become purified of their prarabdha karmas. What's prarabdha karma? Prarabdha karma means that which is fructifying now, suffering, something, too hot, or something, whatever it is, that's something that someone is suffering. Those who take shelter of those devotees who have taken shelter of the Personality of Godhead are relieved of their prarabdha karmas. And they're eligible for engaging in devotional service because of that shelter taking. And I was overly hopeful. I was thinking I would get to some more of what Prabhupada wrote. We'll do that tomorrow, I guess. Yeah, I don't think I need to summarize because I did that. It went along in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Did the same. So his commentary is not completed yet, but so far he's made a nice little map of what this verse is saying. And because this is one of the Chatur Sloki verses, one of the four essence verses of the entire Bhagavatam, this message is found over here and over here and over here and over here and over here. They resonate with that essential message, confirming what the essential message says, collaborating what the essential message says. We'll continue tomorrow. I just want to emphasize one other thing. Going back to the first part of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Lord Brahma wants protection. He doesn't want just information. He wants protection. He has a very complex task ahead of him, creating a universe. I mean, scientists just taking one little piece of the creation. You know, take the building block, take, you know, the strands of DNA. You know, build a DNA strand. Let a scientist build a DNA strand. And Brahma builds like billions of them. Like how many, you know, unlimited numbers of them, puts them together in various ways to like make the whole thing happen. How complex is what he has to do? Then we got to do something, and oh, it's very complex. And it is. You know, for our capacity, it's we're maxed. So, like Lord Brahma, we should follow his example and pray to the Lord for protection from Maya. So then when we're doing things, we're not thinking of ourselves as the doer of those things. We're thinking of ourselves as the instrument of the Lord. And on his behalf, we're striving to our best capacity, praying for his empowerment to serve him transparently. And that's this mystery, rahasyam or etavat. And the message is that there should be this inquisitiveness into the Supreme. When we're doing devotional service and we're doing things other than direct sadhana, that it also counts as devotional service. If we're connecting those activities to the Supreme, we should be mindful as best we can by good sadhana to remember Krishna when we're doing the things that we do in life. The complex things, when you're in school doing your studies, and when you're in the workplace doing your job, and when you're in the home dealing with stuff, and so on, moving about the world. In the consciousness of seeking out the Personality of Godhead under the guidance of spiritual master and the scriptural teachings, in all circumstances of life, then there's protection. And you stop doing that, and the material energy, the whirlpool of the material energy starts moving you. And whoa, whoa. And next thing you know, you're somewhere else. You open your eyes and say, what happened? I just got tossed around once again. So reset, focus, and move forward. And continue, like the example given in Nectar Devotion is the capacity of a small child to walk is innate, and it takes a while for that innate capacity to come out, and the parents are there to assist the child, hold their little hand and let them take a step and two, and then they tumble, and then they get up, and they can take another step or two and they tumble, and the innate capacity is there and it comes out. So the innate capacity, similarly, of pure devotion to Krishna, it's there. It's on the soul platform. It can't be taken away even by so much covering. It's there. And the innate capacity is brought out by sadhana, by practice. And that's what this essential verse of the Bhagavatam is saying. The best of all sadhanas is the practice of devotional service carried out under proper direction. Okay, again, to be continued, and see if there's any discussion on the verse or whatever we've covered or anything.
You were talking about like what are we doing in this like 3% when it will be carried and expert come 4%. So my question is, whatever the knowledge we receive and a lot of realization we have, we will get a lot of realizations of source. The same realization and knowledge we will be able to remember it?
Well, it's not like that exactly. It's spiritual elevation more than a particular item of knowledge. Like, let's say, you know, I know Bhagavad Gita 1866. Sarvadharmam parityajam. So it's not like, and I take my birth again. Sarvadharmam parityajam. Not like that. But to the degree that I have understood the import of that verse, the absolute nature of surrender unto Krishna, and what that does, to the degree that I've realized that, when, again, in the next birth, there's some contact with devotional service, that level of realization is restored. That level of Krishna consciousness is restored.
You told about like the wealth of sadhana brings the four things, the karma, moksha.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know more about like the four things.
Dharma means religious duties. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's religious duty, because he was a kshatriya, was to give protection. Or a householder's religious duty is to give in charity. One earns and one gives in charity, etc. So there's duties of life. And there's fruits that come from those duties, and those fruits of those duties are to be offered to the Supreme. The benefit to be derived by execution of duties and offering the fruits to the Supreme is included. That is a subset of devotional service. Etc. Artha. There's some wealth or some that which is to be gained, and that comes automatically from the performance of devotional service. Whatever it is that it is destined for me in this life, whether so I'm a sannyasi, I didn't become a doctor, I didn't do that duty, etc., 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 I'm doing something else. The means for carrying out my devotional service is supplied by the same place it's supplied for one who does that other thing, from Krishna. And so forth. We don't need to independently strive for moksha. It's a subset of devotional service. Just engage in devotional service. That's the meaning. Anything else?
So here when we are advised to chant as Brahma Muhurta, then throughout the day, when we are, you know, reading, writing or doing our job, keeping forefront in Krishna, then we chant, how do we...
If you can, if it's appropriate, or you can take a little break and chant. But if you, at the same time, if you are thinking to some degree or to the best of your capacity, I'm Krishna's worker. I'm Krishna's servant. This other fellow here, he thinks that I'm his servant. That's okay, he can think that way. I know that I'm Krishna's servant. And I'm here representing Krishna and on Krishna's behalf. And that attachment to Krishna carries my Krishna consciousness throughout the day, whether I'm chanting japa or reciting slokas or worshipping the deity or something.
Okay. Well, when we tumble, this is God's protection through.
When we tumble,
your voice became very soft.
What was the rest of the sentence?
When we tumble, is the law of protection still there?
Why not? When your son tumbles, do you just like say, "Oh, you're out of here," or is your protection still there?
Even more.
Okay.
I want to take the opportunity to share.
Okay.
As we from last yesterday's class, the sincere earnestness.
Yeah.
Phrase, and I'm recognizing as we move along in devotional services, there's deeper and deeper attachments that Krishna addresses and
pulls from us.
Yeah. And to make that choice of loving service to Krishna rather than take shower or attachments. The analogy you gave of the young child, little baby, being picked up by a parent and held by a handler, but that was such a moving moment. So I appreciate your presence there in our lives.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.